Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Lindsay Watson is the CEO and co-founder of Augment Therapy, Inc., a telehealth-enabled software that uses augmented reality experiences to engage children in physical and occupational therapy. Her passion to drive change in the pediatric healthcare industry is due in part to her 20 years working as a physical therapist specializing in pediatrics. She's with us today to share how she came up with the idea for Augment Therapy and what it's like to be a tech founder. Lindsay, welcome to the podcast. So excited to have you with me today.
Thank you so much, Pat. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Well, I can't wait for our listeners and viewers to hear your story and what you're up to and how you're changing the world for kids. It's so amazing. So I'm going to dive right in. And why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to be doing what you're doing now?
Well, I'm a physical therapist, actually, by trade, and I've been practicing for about 20 years, with 17 of those years specializing in pediatrics. Okay. And it was my years in practice that really brought me to the conclusion that I needed to solve many of the problems that I felt were unaddressed, particularly in healthcare delivery for children. And I basically would daydream on how I would solve those problems myself. And I got frustrated enough that I decided to put all my fears aside and just go for it and try to solve those issues myself.
And how did you get your ideas of what to do?
Well, I've always felt that the best therapists actually pay attention to what draws the attention of children. And they leverage that for the good of the child during a therapy session. So I always had my finger on the pulse of each child for what was the motivating thing in their life. And for many children through the years, I watched a slow evolution where technology was the driving force for many children. And even though most of us adults often view that as a negative, I tried to figure out how I could leverage that positively for the children. And there were really no tools that were designed specifically for children in a therapeutic way to be leveraged during my session. So I was always modifying technology for the children, things like Pokemon Go, a multitude of other games like that. So I would always just watch these games and watch the kids play. And then I would imagine how I would improve it for the child. And the nagging feeling just would never go away. So I decided that there was a reason, perhaps, that that nagging feeling was constantly there. And I just decided to go for it and put my visions and dreams into and make them a reality.
Yes. So tell us what augmented therapy means then. That's the term of what you're doing, right?
Right. Yes. So the company Augment Therapy really is we create immersive technology experiences for the child that have therapeutic benefit. And we engage the child through an application on an iPhone or an iPad. And we take patient-facing augmented reality games. And we can modify their environment and experience of therapy, even though they're just doing basic physical and occupational therapy exercises. We up the ante and put them in a gaming environment, and we can simultaneously capture data points on their movement. So we're designed to function in the clinical setting with the child, and we have telehealth enablement so we can be used in the home. And we can remote monitor a child's adherence to the quote games and actually see who's doing what they need to do to get better.
Yeah. And so basically what you're saying is you're putting the child into the game.
That's exactly right. Yes, they really are the star of the software. And that's part of our mantra and goal is to take that image of the child, which actually has therapeutic benefit, you know, a tool that therapists use consistently in therapy is actually a mirror. Uh-huh. And there's a reason behind that, because we're facilitating this brain and body connection that is oftentimes not functioning optimally for children in particular. So we take that child's image, we capture them, put them on the TV screen, and then we alter their environment. Let's say their family room now becomes a swamp where they need to jump into the swamp, or we turned it into a snow globe and they need to shift their weight onto their surgical leg to make the snow inside the snow globe.
And so then they can see how their body is moving, and then that makes the connection with the brain. So then outside of the game, they have that connection.
That's it. And that's truly just the fundamental of what we're doing. And most of the time, and it takes a therapist really to say this, is the therapy is incredibly boring. It's very repetitive, and it needs to be to benefit the patient. But by altering their environment, we really can make a hospital room exciting. We can make a therapy clinic exciting. We can make a family room exciting, and to the benefit of the patient and child.
Yes. And so what sort of children, what are the needs that they have for physical therapy? Who are these kids that are benefiting from this?
Typically, most of the kids we see in therapy are kids with chronic conditions. So most of the time, they're kids with things such as a cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, autism, various neurological syndromes, developmental disabilities. So they're often in therapy for years at a time, which was another really catalyst thing for me, is I felt that the paradigm we often put families through to receive therapy was incredibly difficult when I really paid attention to what these families were going through. And what's on the line for the child and the family is not necessarily, you know, many people think therapy could just be so little Timmy runs faster or things like that. But it's actually, will that child walk? Will that child ever be able to run or jump? And so when that type of important thing is on the line, these families bring them to therapy, and it's a difficult thing to do week after week, year after year, though.
Yes. But then when they can do it in this more fun way, the child's more motivated to do it, right?
That's it. And, you know, ultimately, that is the difference maker for the majority of these children. If they were able to do these exercises on a daily basis, they could potentially get better faster. And that is what I was going for here, is I wanted to change the experience to promote them doing it daily so that perhaps their rehab trajectory could go from 10 to 20 years to maybe 5 years.
Yeah. Wow. So walk me through. So you've got these little, I'm going to call them God nudges, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this. So when you finally said, oh, I need to do this, how did you know what to do?
Well, I admittedly didn't. And so I had no idea what to do. So I'm actually the daughter of a tech entrepreneur. Oh. And one of the things, though my dad passed away many years ago, one of the things he taught me in building his companies is that you research before you dive in. So even though I had all of these ideas, I began researching the market, that even though I was a quote expert in the market. Mm-hmm. So I researched everything. I researched, you know, the ecosystem here in the Cleveland area as well, of where I could find mentors, because I knew I was going to need a lot of help. And so I sought out a lot of people that could guide me, and I really dove into what was working and what wasn't working in existing technologies in the marketplace, and really cut my teeth on that so that I could start the company a little more prepared.
Yeah, that's such a good idea, because so many times people think, oh, I have this fabulous idea. Now I'm going to go do it and then everybody will like it. But that isn't what happens, right?
Well, and I was that person as well. As I remember when I first began, I thought, you know, oh, you know, fame and fortune will fly towards me within months of beginning the endeavor. And boy, was I ever wrong. And I had a lot to learn, and I'm still learning every day, which is actually what I love about this company thus far, is that something is different every single day. And it's very exciting.
Yeah. So how long ago was this that you first started doing the research?
I began the research over 4 years ago. And at the time, a lot of the research was all around gamification, but also telehealth and remote patient monitoring, mm-hmm. which was really fringe. At the time, you know, I think in the rehab industry in particular, only 5% of therapists at the time were integrating any kind of telehealth mm-hmm. into their practice. And so, and they were reimbursed only for bringing a patient personally in front of them, one-on-one delivery yeah. of care.
Yeah.
So this was really far-fetched, what I was thinking about. And it was a big uphill battle. And then the pandemic, of course, changed all of that very quickly.
Yeah, right. So technology changed during the pandemic in your favor.
That's very true. And I think what it made everyone recognize is, you know, because the rehab industry very quickly, for the most part, shut down for a short period of time, but they had to leverage tools that weren't designed to render therapy remotely. So they were using platforms that were designed for video conferencing for, you know, board meetings and staff meetings.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing at their disposal. And many of my fellow therapists recognized that that was okay for a short period of time, but it wasn't engaging. Mm-hmm. And they needed something more engaging to keep the attention of a patient long term over that medium. So mm-hmm. I think what everyone's recognizing is that the extremes of any healthcare delivery are not great. So entirely virtual is not great. Entirely in one-on-one isn't great, but a combination of the two is really what is going to ultimately, I think, be the sweet spot, both for healthcare providers, but patients as well.
Yeah, right. So tell us what stage you're at now in your process.
We are at the stage now where we have our MVP, our minimal viable product, and we are going out into the market and we are getting our early customers and we're testing it and gathering the data that tells us where we're getting it right and where we're getting it wrong. Mm-hmm. And these early customers really are a big part of the push of the product forward. And so we're in one hospital right now and two educational service centers in Ohio and expanding in those deployments. And we're about to launch into another hospital on the West Coast. And we are about to deploy into, within the next few months, 5 other hospitals across the country, 1 internationally. So we're really at this like exciting place. We have one big partnership with a national children's education brand that's really exciting as well. And we're in this just exciting place where the opportunities are coming at us fast and we're having to organize all those ideas and get it right.
Yes. So are they reaching out to you because they've heard you speak somewhere or they've heard about how are these hospitals getting on board?
Well, we were lucky enough to get into these 2 tech accelerators. A lot of tech companies participate in these accelerators because it really does kind of put you in the room with the people mm-hmm. you want to be in with to advance your technology forward. And so we got into Mass Challenge Health Tech, and we got paired with a hospital there that's been incredible for us to work with. And then we got into another accelerator called KidsX, which was the first pediatric digital health accelerator in the country. And we're one of 13 tech companies selected from all over the world to participate in that program. And so we got paired with these hospitals through those programs. And it's just been the most incredible experience because they taught us how to do things better and more efficiently, and gave us access to these incredible partners that really have facilitated the technology forward much faster.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. So if you look back now, is there anything that you would have done differently?
I definitely think initially some of my challenges were all personal. So I really was very committed to my profession. I'm a therapist. I need to stay in my lane. I'm not qualified. I have no tech prowess, even though I dreamed up how to do this. And one of my big ones was that I don't have an MBA. And one of the things that finally got me over that was my dad. He did not have an MBA as well. And though I didn't have him to talk to directly, he was a country guy from Pennsylvania and had 8 patents and built this amazing tech company. And I tried to remember that. And ultimately, my co-founder, who is my technical co-founder, also helped teach me that, you know, some of the things that are my obvious weaknesses that I don't have tech prowess have actually been benefits, because according to him, my brain is not limited in that way. I just know how it needs to work for the end consumer and the patient and the parent. And I know that, and I'm fixated on that. But then my brain doesn't wander into what is possible and what is not possible technically. I just think in terms of how it needs to work. Yeah. And he said that actually is exhilarating to work with someone like that, because I'm not limited in that way. So I would definitely change some of those internal struggles initially, because maybe I would have gone out for it a little sooner. But I think in the end, it taught me a lot and keeps you humble.
Yeah. And so who is your tech partner? How did you find this person?
Yeah, my technical co-founder is Steve Blake, and I'm in Cleveland. Steve is in New Hampshire. And I met him through a friend of a friend of a friend. Because I had no technical connections in my region, I reached out to an old friend of mine from college that I recognized as being in the top echelon of her career and connected in the technical world. And I knew, okay, she will connect me to the right people because she's on her A game. And so she reached out to her network, and her network connected me to him. And we just hit it off right away. We just worked together initially just so that he could kind of develop a prototype for me in the company. And what I liked about him was, you know, I kind of had the dream technical co-founders, right? They'll check every box I can't check. And what I wanted was someone who had deep knowledge in developing software for children, mm-hmm. and who also had some knowledge of med tech as well. And he's done that. And he spent the last 10 years developing educational software for children. And he and I are the ultimate odd couple in the sense that you don't normally see someone like me helming a tech company. And him as well. You know, I'm in my 40s. He's in his 60s. We have a long careers behind us and ahead of us to some degree, but we are odd and unusual in that sense. But I think that's why it works.
Yeah.
It really does. He's just amazing.
I love that you used your network. I think that's so important that people feel like they're little islands and they don't think to look for people way from their past, like you said, you know. And what a great thing happened.
It did. It worked out in the end. He's just been wonderful. He has an even-keeled demeanor, which I think is really important in the chaotic world of startup life.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've won several awards already, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, we've won quite a few. I've kind of recognized one of the big things that is a great way to gain visibility and some funds for a startup is to enter into pitch competitions. Uh-huh. And so I had to learn how to pitch. And my first pitch deck I made, I'd never worked in PowerPoint before. You know, physical therapists are tactile people. We, you know, aren't using technology. And so my son was 12 at the time, and he had to teach me how to use PowerPoint and help me with my first version. And I would, you know, the mentors that I sought out would kind of grill me on pitching. But I got better and better through the years. And so we won quite a few of those. And that funding has been amazing for us to build the company.
Yeah, that is so fantastic. You are amazing.
Oh, thank you.
What's your vision for the future then?
Oh, man, I'm dreaming big. And sometimes I wish I could rein myself in a little bit. But I'm dreaming big in part. I will share a little personal story. So I'd never experienced therapy as a parent before, but my own daughter, my youngest of three, was four at the time, and she came down with a unexplained but rare septic bacterial infection, where in kids, it typically will go to a joint in the body, and it attacked her hip joint, and she was in excruciating pain and had to have emergency hip surgery.
Wow.
And so we spent a week in the hospital afterwards receiving therapy and getting antibiotics. And, you know, she was not compliant in therapy. She was not happy. And it was really hard for me to witness it. But we had a prototype version of the software done at that point and had never actually tested it with kids. But when we got home from the hospital, I put her in front of the software right away. And she instantly did all of those exercises that she had been kind of screaming at the therapist, quite frankly, at the hospital. And I knew then that I was finally working in the medium of comfort for kids, and that's technology. Yeah. And that kind of lit an obsession in me that is tough at times because I can't sleep at night. I'm so excited about this. But that moment really changed the vision for me. Was I really felt like I don't think I'll be content again unless I can get this in front of as many children, like I mean many, all over the globe. And then I feel like my heart will be at peace. And so I'm seeking that peace again. And so the vision is that exactly that is scale this to as many children as possible, and eventually adults as well. You know, we've tested the software with adults. And what we've found is that, you know, if we put an adult avatar on the screen, it feels like a game for adults as well. And adults respond to it too. So eventually we'll get there also. And that's really the vision.
Wow. Amazing. And so how long ago was that your daughter was in the hospital?
That was 3 years ago. So it was a year after I started the company. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times, particularly for pediatric companies, a parent of a child, and they've dealt with some kind of experience is oftentimes the catalyst to start the company. So I wasn't that, but, you know, I really feel like fate put that in my path to kind of make sure I didn't give up too, because it lit this fire in me that I really hadn't ever felt before, quite frankly.
Yeah, it reinforced what you were doing, right? Wow, that's so great. Well, how can people reach out to you and learn more? And do you have needs?
Yeah, so people can follow us on LinkedIn, on Facebook. We want to build more of a following. We don't have much. We're not great at social media, and we're going to get better. So follow us there. You can go to our website, which is augmenttherapy2tsbacktoback.com. Subscribe to our mailing list, and you can seek us out there. And you can even contact us through the website as well to get more information. We need to spread the word. We want to engage with more hospitals, more interested customers and partners, all of those things we're looking for to basically build some momentum for what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you are on the curve going up, woman.
I hope you're right. Yeah, it feels good. And I'm really happy. The team of people that we have is really the best part of the company, because we have these people that all are so focused on making life better for children. It really, these people are at the pinnacle of their careers, and they're kind of, you know, swallowing their pride and working for a startup to some degree. But I hope we're on a rocket ship together. And if we really hit the stars, it's because of the people on this team. They're amazing. Yeah,
that is so great. So one thing I always ask everybody that is on this sort of success podcast with me is, what are three traits that you think people need to have in order to soar to success? Can you give me three?
Yes. I think tenacity is really important. You know, you do take a lot of kicks and jabs, especially when you're starting out. And the one thing I've noticed about myself that I didn't know I had was I will take those hits, and I am hurt by them initially, but I bounce back very quickly. And what I've learned to do is turn that into fuel. Yeah. So I take those jabs and they end up, you know, fueling me for a month or two in the best way possible. So I should send thank you notes to all the people that say no to me. I would say purpose. I feel like that's part of the reason why the company is moving forward so fast, is when you're working for something with real purpose, with real heart behind it, it does make the hard days easier. So finding your purpose, I think, will ultimately give you the fuel you need to get through the rough moments. I'm a big believer in that. And the next one, I would say probably maybe authenticity. I come to meetings and, you know, I've always kind of been a little on the self-deprecating side. And I think you can just move forward faster when you're just honest with people about yourself and your strengths and your weaknesses. And I think it's refreshing. And it's nice to work with people that feel that way as well and are just honest about what they're good at, what they're not. And so I think if you're true to yourself, you'll move faster in the business world too. So
those are three great ones. And I can tell that you exemplify those. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I'm trying, you know, I'm a work in progress.
Great. Well, thank you for being on with me today. I really appreciate it. It was so fun hearing about your journey and what's to come.
Thank you so much, Pat. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.